This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Noel and Roshan. Now, we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, have you postponed or avoided a hospital or clinic visit since the pandemic began? We've got about 110 votes on this poll so far. We're going to be taking a look at the results very shortly. But why we're asking about this right now is because, according to the Malaysia Healthcare Tourism Council, its standard operating procedures have just received full approval.
And it would require patients coming in for treatments to undergo isolation and tests beforehand. I think this is just to address any possible fears there. Last month, the government announced that our borders would partially open to allow medical tourists to enter for treatment. And, you know, medical tourism plays a big role in the Malaysian healthcare industry. So this is all part of that, essentially trying to open up the economy again.
Yeah, so the Malaysia Healthcare Tourism Council, I think, initially projected 2 billion ringgit in revenue earnings this year, but it's now expecting a 70% drop in revenue, not 100%. But just to give you an idea of how big this industry is, right, it attracted 1.3 million medical tourists last year, say compared to US only has 550,000 inbound patients. So not too bad. I mean, it's really a thriving industry.
Now, private hospitals, clinics and pharmacies have also experienced revenue drops due to the movement control order because patients chose to delay elective treatments as well as consultations. So for some insights into the impact of COVID-19 and the MCO on the private healthcare sector overall, we're speaking this morning to Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dato. Now, how badly has the COVID-19 outbreak and the MCO impacted revenues for private healthcare institutions? Could you share some numbers with us, if possible?
Thank you. Good morning to all of you all, and thanks for the invitation. Well, COVID-19 outbreak, the numbers in most of the private hospitals, including private clinics, we have been down to about, as you mentioned, just now between 70 to 80%. Some of the hospitals are probably only receiving about 20% of what they should normally get. And it wasn't just during the MCO, which was on during the month of March, but earlier to that, we had already felt the heat that the patients had started being very careful when they thought of seeking treatment in the private hospitals in January and February, when Singapore had a huge number of patients. There was already a bit of a fear in Malaysia. So the numbers have been down since March, and it has been consistently down up to May, and then we had some increase in the month of May and June, and July seems to be a little better with the RMCO, moving that when the industries open up, the economies open up, people start going back to work, there's a bit more confidence with the system that the numbers are down. So we're beginning to see a little bit more patients than what we used to see.
But, Doctor, how much of a recovery have you seen since the RMCO has started? Is it just a minute recovery here, or is it significant?
We have not gone back to 100%. Most hospitals are probably at about a 60% capacity or maybe maximum 70, but we are hovering about 50 to 60% capacity right now.
Do you foresee by, say, the end of the year, we may go up to like 80%, even 100%? And do you have any revenue projection in mind?
Well, I think it's all boils down to the confidence level of the patients. If the patients feel safe, and then I think they will return back for their treatment. It's difficult to project what we projected initially in the month of March. What is going to happen in 2 months or 3 months, we really couldn't give any kind of number because we were not sure. Actually, no one is sure. What happens in September, October, God forbid, if there is a second or third wave, and then again, we might be back down to 20%. So it's difficult to project, but if the way things are going today, most likely we should do quite well by end of the year, if not early next year.
So, Dr. Kuljit, you know, what were some of the main sources of income for private healthcare institutions previously, and has that maintained since the RMCO has come into effect?
In Malaysia, the private hospitals, the main source of income is either the domestic patients, that means the local patients, and then we also have medical tourists. These are the main two sources that we have. And we do not see public patients. Like some countries, you have patients from the public sector. They would be sometimes transferred. We are trying to work on that so that it will be sustainable for both parties, public and private. That is still not done as yet. But we are concerned with the medical tourists, as you mentioned earlier, because some of our hospitals in Malaysia are catered largely to medical tourists. And those hospitals are having a greater impact financially comparing to some of the hospitals in Malaysia. Private hospitals are basically only domestic patients and local patients. So it depending on the structure of the hospital.
So does that mean that private hospitals are going to have to adapt their businesses then, especially if they're focused on medical tourism? Have you seen any of this adapting, any of them adapting their business models?
Well, they are trying to get the hospitals that are reliant with medical tourists, they are trying to now market their business with the local patients. But it will take time because if a particular hospital is has always been with medical tourists, it takes time for you to capture the domestic market because there would be other hospitals in the same area would be already having their pool of patients and they are also down. So they are trying to strategize something, but our hope is faster the regional COVID pandemic gets settled, then we can see the influx of medical tourists coming to Malaysia.
What do you hope the government could do more to help expedite medical tourism in this rather difficult time?
Well, we have had engagement with the government through MHTC and also the Ministry of Finance. Well, medical tourism and even the regular tourism, we suffer the same kind of dynamics because the bottom line is we are still skeptical to open up. The government is skeptical to open up because you just need clusters of patients coming in and then again creating new waves of COVID. I think that's the main concern of everyone. If you were to accept medical tourists in big numbers, then what happens if you get a patient with COVID and then there is a spread? So I think the government is trying their best to see how they can work it out on selecting certain patients which are well-tested and we are confident that they are not COVID-positive to treat those patients to start with. So that mediation, I think the government is trying to do even with our regional country. So far, that's the best that has happened. But we still have to wait and see. We have to be reliant on the SOPs. The SOPs have to be very, very clear in bringing in medical tourists.
Here's a longer-term question. I'm just looking at the numbers. I think in Malaysia, 2018, we had something like 1.2 million people. In Thailand, about 302,000 medical tourists. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm comparing apples and oranges. It depends how they calculate these medical tourists. But really, it seems to me Malaysia has done really well in terms of bringing in that number. What would you say has been Malaysia's competitive advantage that we might seem to have overtaken Thailand?
Actually, Malaysia has been fantastic in terms of its healthcare, and the testimony to this is medical tourists. We often hear complaints that the private healthcare is very expensive in Malaysia, but when you look at the medical tourists, that many of them have switched to Malaysia than the other countries because they see the value in our system, the value of the amount that they pay to get medical treatment in Malaysia, comparatively speaking, to any other country. So that shows the value that we are providing in terms of health, the healthcare that we have here in Malaysia, the safety, the medication that we provide, and our doctors are pretty competent. So So the cost, many would say the cost is exorbitant in private healthcare. But if you look at the medical tourists, they will tell you it is not. When you compare to the countries in our region, we actually not, we are value for money. So that's why we had this sudden surge of a lot of patients coming to Malaysia. In fact, as we speak, the medical tourists are eager to come to Malaysia. They are calling hospitals on a daily basis that they don't see any other doctor, even in their own country. Their doctors are only in Malaysia. So, you know, they're, you can see that they are actually desperate to come.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Kuljit. That was Dr. Kuljit Singh of the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia, giving us his thoughts into how the private healthcare system has fared amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. And you know, in this conversation about medical tourism, it reminded me of Iskandar Malaysia, which was set up to be one of the medical tourism hubs of the ASEAN region. I wonder how that's doing now.
Well, I've not heard much about it, but I have to say a lot of good doctors are in KL, right? So probably KL would probably still remain the hub, so to speak, in this country.
All right, and right now, though, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And up next, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Xiaoning speaks with Lee Sang Hui, CEO of Manulife Holdings Berhad. So be sure to stay tuned after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.